you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, July 8th, 2016. Joining me on the phone is the Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. How are you today, Jason?
Hey, not too bad. How are you doing, Mark?
Doing well. I had a very interesting, I don't know, two and a half hours yesterday with Marianne Offenstein and Jennifer Gran, as they created 30 different radio announcements using scripture and a little opening and a close. And Jennifer, she's like an actress. So she was in the studio animated and passionate and reciting these scripture verses. And Marianne had put these together in such a way that there was like a little opening or a hook or a catch or an interesting closing comments. So I'll be excited in the days ahead to share these with our listeners. But yeah, very productive day, got a lot done here, and it was like woman power that was going on here in the studio. So I need some male bonding now. So anyways, all is good. Thank you, Lord, for a new day, upcoming weekend, time to fellowship with other believers on Sunday. And today, as we get to look at this book of Acts, it's been a real blessing to me, and I know many of our listeners, the feedback we've received. And so why don't I begin, before you pray us up, with the closing verse in chapter 24 to lay a little of the context as we get into chapter 25 with that trial before Festus. So it begins with, when 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, but because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. Oh, let's tackle this verse in this chapter and see what God would have to say to us all, Jason.
Yeah. Well, Lord, we just ask that you would speak to us, that you would lead us and guide us through your word, Father, that you would reveal to us truth, and Father, not just the kind of superficial truth that might change us in this moment, but the kind of truth, Father, that would change our lives, the truth about Jesus and his revealed word. Father, we thank you for your word, which has been breathed out to us, that is profitable for all things of life and faith. And Father, we know that your word doesn't return void. So what we hear today and what is spoken today will bring you great glory. And it's in your name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, so you ended that, and you said, you know, in 2 years had elapsed. And we talked last week about how Felix was hoping that he was meeting with Paul on a regular basis, and he was hoping that Paul might give him some money. And remember, we said that Paul was most likely in close proximity to Jerusalem. People were visiting him, and they were bringing him funds to help him be able to survive in prison. Maybe they were bringing him some books. We know later when Paul's in Rome, he writes to Timothy and asks Timothy to bring him his cloak and to bring him some books. So it might not be out of the scope that they were bringing him different things, because he had liberty here that maybe some prisoners didn't, because he was a Roman citizen.
Mm-hmm.
The text tells us that in verse 23, that he was kept custody but have some liberty, that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. And we know that Paul was a reader. Paul was loved to write, so that would have been some of Paul's needs. But it said for 2 years, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and he desired to do the Jews a favor. So he desired to do the Jews a favor over what was right to do. And, mm-hmm. and we knew that Paul was in prison not because Paul had done anything wrong. These were trumped-up charges. But he left Paul in prison for 2 years. And what's interesting is we don't have a lot of understanding what happens in that 2 years. We just know that Paul's needs are attended to. He's left there. We don't know if maybe Festus and Paul met like Felix and Paul had met during that time. We're not really exactly sure about that. But what we do know is that he desired to do the Jews a favor. And that favor was to keep Paul off the street, because when Paul was on the street, he was a powerhouse for the gospel and for Christ. Now, chapter 25 begins, and it says, now 3 days after Festus arrived in the province, he went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. And the chief priests and the principal men of the Jews laid out their case against Paul, and they urged him, asking as a favor against Paul. So there's already been a favor given to them, keeping Paul in prison. So there's a history of doing favors. And this was normal for the Roman provincial governor. It was difficult to rule Palestine at the time. It was difficult to rule Israel. And so in doing so, there was a lot of exchange of favors. I mean, we would see, if we would study historically, you know, the writings of Josephus, that Pilate had many, many dealings with the Jews that were not favorable, because he was trying to navigate Jewish law, trying to navigate Jewish customs and doing that. So I think after Pilate, a lot of these guys tried to do a little bit better. They tried to operate maybe on the favor system. You know, one hand washes the other. And so here they came up and they urged him, asking as a favor against Paul, that he summon him to Jerusalem, because they were planning an ambush to kill him on the way. So they asked him, they said, Festus, will you send Paul up to Jerusalem where we can hear him there? And along the way, we're going to kill him. Now, Festus replied that Paul was being kept in Caesarea and that he himself intended to go there shortly. So he said, let the men of authority amongst you go down with me. And if there's anything wrong about the man, let them bring charges against him. This is interesting because there are men of authority. Now, I don't want to know. I don't want to dismiss that there aren't men who carry authority. There aren't men who speak with authority, and there are not men who have authority. But ultimately, authority rests with God. That's Paul's position. Paul's position is in the sovereignty, the ultimate authority of God, who God leads and he guides everything. Paul is not in prison here by accident. He's here by the hand of God, because God is moving. Remember, God said, you're going to go to Rome. So Paul knows that his mission, Paul knows that his life is not going to end in Caesarea. It's not going to end in Israel. It's going to end in Rome, because that's where he's going to be taken. The Holy Spirit has already spoken that to Paul. And so it says, let men of authority amongst you go down with me. If there's anything wrong with the man being Paul, then let them bring charges against him. After he stayed among them for not more than 8 or 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day he took his seat on the tribunal and ordered Paul to be brought. When he had arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing many serious charges. And this is important, bringing many serious charges against him that they could not prove. So these were accusations without weight. These were charges of opposition, when all they really showed was that these Jews opposed righteousness. You know, they weren't listening to what God told them to do in the Old Testament when he told them to love justice and to walk humbly. They're not doing anything of that, and yet they would consider themselves to be devout, and yet they don't have any of the devout characters. In fact, they don't even have any character or integrity, because they're attempting to argue things that they can't even prove. Says that Paul argued in his defense, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I committed any offense. So Paul says, look it, against the law of the Jews, against the temple, against the Roman Empire, I've done nothing wrong. And I do have to think that Festus here is probably puzzled by all these accusations. He's puzzled by the situation. You know, this is the same situation that Felix was been in. There's no criminal act for Paul to be prosecuted. But Festus also, in the same way, doesn't want to let Paul go, because he knows there'll be repercussions for the Jews. Now, a third time in the text, we're going to hear this phrase, but Festus wishing to do the Jews a favor. And so here, this need to do a favor, this need for one hand to wash the other, supersedes righteousness and justice. It supersedes doing what needs to be done and what should be done. It supersedes even truth.
Sounds like politics today.
it certainly does, and it certainly tells you that when the Bible says the human heart is deceitful above all else, that transcends time. The human heart wasn't just deceitful then when that verse was written in the Bible. The human heart is forever deceitful and forever in need of God, forever in need of righteousness. And the righteous man of God will always stand in persecution in and amongst those kinds of deceitful hearts. You know, it doesn't say here, and desiring to do what was right, Festus did this. No, Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, do you wish to go up to Jerusalem and there be tried on these charges before me. This is fascinating to me because Paul has already been told, like I already said this, but Paul's already been told by the Holy Spirit he's going to Rome. He's not going back to Jerusalem. He's been in Jerusalem. He's already been there. He's a man on a mission. You remember Agabus had his hands bound with a belt and saying that I'm showing you what it's like going to be like for Paul when he is bound and gagged and dragged to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul said, I'm standing before Caesar's tribunal. So Paul, this is great what Paul says. Paul says, I'm standing before Caesar's tribunal where I ought to be tried. Paul says, this is Romans 13, by the way. I'm submitting to the laws of government here. I'm submitting to the government that God put in place. I'm submitting to God's will. And God is going to work this out. In fact, I want to just take a moment to remind us and to refresh us to read that passage. Because it says in Romans 13, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God and those that exist that have been instituted by God. Now, some of us would say, but wait a second, why would God put an evil instrument of government in place? Well, we see in the book of Isaiah that God does that as a form of judgment. A form of judgment on a land is not good leaders, it's bad leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And so we... as rebellious people, maybe need to submit and to hear God and to follow God and to reclaim what it means to follow God in the midst of a crooked, as Paul would say in Philippians, a crooked and depraved generation. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear for the one who is in authority, then do what is good and you will receive his approval. So Paul says in Acts 25, I'm standing before Caesar's tribunal where I ought to be. I'm submitting to you. I'm telling you that my life is in your hands, but you are only in that position because God put you there. And I believe because of the sovereignty of God, while it appears that I'm in your hands, I'm really in God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says to the Jews, I have done nothing wrong. As you yourself know very well, Paul says, I see right through it. You know that I've done nothing wrong. These Jews know that I've done nothing wrong. I'm submitting to your authority.
Mm-hmm.
Then in verse 11 it says, if then I'm a wrongdoer and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I don't seek to escape death. This is where, and I've said this in the past before, this is where Paul is absolutely frustrating for people. And these are the people who are trying to incite Paul to do something, because Paul didn't fear death. Many times Paul said, if death is what I'm supposed to have, then I'll take it. You know, what do you say to a man who says to live is Christ, to die is gain? What do you say to a man when you want to torture him and he says, well, I don't consider the sufferings of this world to surpass the glory of the world to come?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you say to a man who when you lock him up in prison, he begins to sing hymns at midnight? I mean, what do you say to a man that is that free? And see, many people would read this text and they would say Paul is being oppressed and Paul is being persecuted. No. Paul is as free as ever here in this passage.
You can almost imagine he's just at peace, and they're just frustrated. It's like, how can this man be so grounded and centered? His disposition or temperament was just like, I know the God I serve, I'm content, and I know I've done nothing wrong. You know, you can just see that he probably was like almost like Stephen, the face of an angel. He was probably so calm that they were just amazed.
Yeah, and what I think is really fascinating is what Paul does here. And again, I think it's the Holy Spirit. You know, we've read in Acts chapter 4, Peter filled with the Holy Spirit multiple times through the New Testament, this apostle or this disciple filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they begin to speak words that otherwise might not have been their own. And Paul says, look, if I deserve death, I don't want to escape death. But if there is nothing to the charges against me, and I think as he's saying this, Festus is going, you know what, there are nothing to these charges. Like, this guy has got it down. No one can give me up to them. He says, then I appeal to Caesar. And I have to think here that there was a moment of relief for Festus. Because no longer is it Festus against the Jews. No longer is it this. Because once Paul, as a Roman citizen, has appealed to Caesar, this has to go to Caesar. This doesn't get to just kind of lie in the low level courts. I mean, the minute that Paul, as a Roman citizen, invokes Caesar, it's to Caesar he goes. And it says, then Festus, when he had conferred with his council, answered, to Caesar you have appealed. To Caesar you shall go. And this is because why? Well, let's take a moment and think about this just for a second. It's really kind of simple. But who's in Rome? Caesar. Where's Paul supposed to go? Mm-hmm. To Rome. Caesar is the way, the way and the means in which Paul is going to get to Rome. All the way through this, God is guiding not only Paul's thoughts and his words, but Paul is guiding his life. God is guiding Paul's life to Rome. He's taking him to Rome, which brings us to the next part of Acts chapter 25, which is just amazing. We can't really get into it till next week because it really has to go together with 26 and Paul before Agrippa and Bernice and Festus all together and just how that plays itself out. It is just an absolutely stunning scene of Paul's tenacity and Paul's love for the gospel. But I think that on a very practical level, when I read the passage that we read today and the passage that we've discussed today, it makes me think, what do I believe about truth? And what do I believe about ultimate truth? And in what places in my life would I seek to do favors? Would I seek for one hand to wash the other? And in a way, would give up truth? You know, well, I'll just do them a favor, knowing that that favor might lead to their sinfulness, knowing that that favor might lead to their demise, knowing that that favor is not going to draw them closer to Christ, but might actually move them away. And where will I be bold enough, like Paul, to submit to difficult positions and difficult places? Because I know that God has it all under control. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever you're suffering today and whatever you're struggling with today, listener, God knows. God isn't somehow absent. He isn't chasing ambulances. He doesn't need to immediately have some sort of meeting with the Holy Spirit and Jesus and try and figure out what they're going to do in your situation. God knows. And God is asking you to, in this moment, to trust him and to love him, to submit to him, and to allow him to guide you, even in situations that are absolutely frustrating. I know you brought up earlier, Mark, just political situations. And if we were to scan the political landscape, if we were to pull up a news site or read the newspaper, we would be absolutely frustrated. And yet, in the midst of investigations, in the midst of shootings, in the midst of all the things that are happening in our world, God is not less sovereign. God is not any less powerful. But you're going to have to rely on him more to see him in the midst of those things because they push up against our humanity. They push up against our fears. And we need to stand like Paul in the midst of a crooked and depraved generation. And we need to speak boldly. And we need to be able to do that. And the only way we're going to do that is if we trust God. Mm-hmm. Not man, but God.
And I'm thinking being grounded in his word, because there's Paul with all this turmoil, and these people are like, we're going to decide your fate. We're going to be doing this. And he's calm and secure and settled in his relationship with God, and he knows that God is directing his life and where he's going to go next. And so I'm just kind of amazed as I'm thinking, you know, with all this commotion going around him, I'm sure there were people watching him saying, how can he be so calm? They're going to determine his destiny. And yet, in essence, really, God is determining all that. And I think for all of us, you know, as we're grounded in God's word, as we're attentive to his leading, his prodding, praying with other like-minded believers, we can have that, I don't know, that disposition, that peace amongst hardship or terrible situations.
Yeah, I think if you don't see living for Christ as gain and dying as gain, you won't truly ever live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where neither one is any less scary, where neither one is it takes away from you. And so I agree with you that I think that we have to be able to stand boldly like Paul, and we have to do it in the midst of a very difficult situation. And it's going to be only our reliance upon God, upon his sovereignty, realizing that he has everything under control, mm-hmm. that he has all things in the palm of his hand. You know, we sing that as a kid, don't we? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. And, but then we sing the other verses, right? He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. And sometimes I think theologically, we have to go back to some of those things that we learned as a kid, right? We have to go back to sing some of those songs. You know, he's got the whole world in his hands. I don't have to worry. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. And so who then shall I fear? And in the midst of it all, Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think in all of our great theology and all of our great Bible studies, I just want to lean back into those songs that I learned as when I was a kid, because those songs tell me exactly what I need to know. Mm. He's got you and me, brother. You know, some of us, maybe we need to say that to the person to our left or right tomorrow or even today. We need to say, you know what? He's got you and me, brother, in the palm of his hand. It's going to be okay.
Now, I'm thinking, Jason, there might be somebody tuned in, scanning the dial, looking for that next rock and roll song to motivate them or whatever, and are kind of captivated by this concept of this God who cares, the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody that came into the world representing God, being very God and yet very man, living a sinless life, dying on the cross for you and for me and for that person tuning in that's maybe never heard that God loves them. And so let me offer an 800 number where they could talk to a trained counselor. It's a free call. It's a person that can answer their questions about the Christian faith or how to have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. They could dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. And then, listener, if you're that person that's going to call that number, please attend a local church this Sunday where they teach and preach the Bible. There's the Community Free Church there in Mahomet. There's many churches where pastors and the congregation will embrace you and nurture you and help you to grow and learn the things of God. And you'll be under that teaching, that community where you can grow and flourish and know God in a personal way. So we would hope that you would maybe call this 1-888-NEED-HIM phone number, get some questions answered, or even now just open the Bible and ask God to reveal truth to you, and you'll find that truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.